Policymakers grapple with a job market that seems to be cruising but not speeding. I'm David Brancaccio in New York, the person who is arguably the single most powerful economic policymaker in the country, if not the world, was testifying before the House Committee on Financial Services yesterday, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. And during the Q&A, Powell said, "We don't really have a hot labor market despite the low, low unemployment rate." Here he is.
3.7% is a low unemployment rate, but to call something hot, you need to see some heat.
Why is this labor market perhaps not as tight as it may seem? Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson digs deeper.
By some measures, the labor market does look pretty darn tight. Take unemployment, which Chair Powell mentioned. Peter Ireland is an econ professor at Boston College.
That by itself would indicate that the U.S. labor market is healthier than it's been in half a century. Do you really believe that?
He says a lot of people don't.
I think most Americans, myself included, would say, well, it just doesn't feel like that at all.
That's largely due to slower than expected wage growth, says economist Ken Kuttner at Williams College.
Wage growth is going to be the ball that the Fed is keeping its eye on.
Because when wages rise and they're not offset by matching gains in productivity,
then that's going to increase firms' costs. And as firms' costs increase, they're going to pass those costs on to consumers in the form of higher prices.
The kind of inflation the Fed wants to avoid. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
A Lockheed Martin helicopter factory outside Philadelphia will stay open for now after President Trump asked its chief executive not to close it down as had been planned. Marketplace's Erica Barris is here with context.
So some backstory. This factory in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, makes helicopters for Lockheed brand Sikorsky. And those helicopters are for both private companies and the military, including the kind of helicopters used by U.S. presidents. There are about 450 people working there. Even so, the facility had planned to shut down at the end of the year because gas companies and other civilian clients had cut back on purchases. But yesterday, Lockheed Martin's CEO said that at the request of President Trump, she's decided to keep the facility open, quote, while we pursue additional work.
Do we know what that means?
It isn't immediately clear. Lockheed hasn't said what kind of work that would be or how long the plant might stay open. CEO Marilyn Hewson said she looked forward to more government work for the plant. Last night, the president tweeted his support for the decision.
I mean, this is part of a pattern, right, with the administration?
Yeah, this isn't the first time the president has urged a CEO to keep a facility open that was scheduled to close or not open as planned. This happened with Carrier, the air conditioning company in Indiana, the Foxconn facility in Wisconsin, the General Motors plant in Ohio.
Marketplace's Erica Barris. Wisconsin's governor did say this week that the Foxconn plant won't hire as many people as they'd hoped and might lose out on tax credits as a result. Checking numbers, we're watching the oil market today with U.S. companies cutting offshore production ahead of a heavy storm on track for Louisiana late this week. 15 oil platforms have been evacuated so far. There was also an incident where three Iranian vessels tried to block a BP oil tanker in the Strait of Hormuz, according to British officials. Crude oil traded in New York went up more than 4% yesterday, is up another 0.4% this morning at $60.79 a barrel. Stocks, London's FTSE down slightly here, Dow and S&P futures down 0.2%. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to weigh in on the status of nearly 700,000 younger people who can legally work and be protected from deportation through an Obama-era program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA. But there are many more undocumented immigrants who are also brought to the U.S. as children who are left out of that program. In some cases, their futures are especially uncertain because they don't know if they'll be able to legally work after they go to college. As part of our California Dream collaboration, KQED's Farida Javala Romero introduces us to one student facing that dilemma.
It's lunchtime at a high school in East San Jose. There are just a couple of weeks to go until graduation. Students play basketball and chat.
So this is my last year, unfortunately.
Daphne, who's 17, is headed to the University of California, Davis, in the fall. We're not using her full name because she's undocumented. She came to the U.S. from Mexico in 2009. That was after the cutoff date for DACA. Daphne says she used to feel ashamed and constrained by her immigration status, but now...
I think for me, college is my ticket. It's a ticket for me to do something greater, to be something else than just my status.
Nearly 100,000 undocumented students graduate from U.S. high schools every year. But far fewer are like Daphne. Counselors around the state say other undocumented students who can't legally work are discouraged about going on to college.
There's some that while they're in high school, they're expressing, oh, well, what's the point of graduating?
Dolores Vera Valdez is a longtime counselor at Washington High School in Fremont in the Bay Area. Unauthorized immigrants are barred from federal financial aid, but some states, like California, offer undocumented residents in-state tuition and state financial aid. That still is not a big enough incentive for some students to go on to college because of work restrictions once they graduate. And economists say many kids who grew up in the U.S. without legal status are confined to lower-paying jobs. That limits their economic mobility, says Joe Hayes with the Public Policy Institute of California.
If you simply don't have paperwork to get a job after you graduate, there's less incentive to pursue a formal education.
He points out that California will face a deficit of more than 1 million college-educated workers by 2030. In San Jose, I'm Farida Javala Romero for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.